start south of 5 plus 5. Thanks. Okay, everybody, very welcome to the meeting today. Can everybody hear me clearly? Okay. Members of the public should remain seated throughout the meeting and should not speak. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are either turned off or switched to silent. The use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio recorded except where the council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. I would remind councillors of their obligations under the Councillors' Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the meeting today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the table for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. Okay, folks, have we any apologies?
Yes, sir. Councillor Dorn and Councillor Willie Clark. Just to make the point as well that the two councillors aren't here because the DAA officer arranged a DAA meeting event at the same time that left the Dorn. I'm unable to attend, so I think that's something that needs to be looked at. It shouldn't be happening.
Absolutely.
And it's affecting councillors' ability to attend the committee meetings.
Any other apologies?
Liam Halloway's apologies.
Any other apologies? No. Okay. Declarations of interest? With any declarations of interest? None. Okay. All right, folks. We look at the action sheet, item number 3, and we'll go through it for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5. Okay, any comments? Okay, can we have a proposer and seconder for removal of any notes on the action sheet? Proposed Councillor Byrne, second Councillor Turner. Okay, we'll move on to item number 4, proposed changes to the Planning Committee Scheme of Delegation and Operating Protocol. This follows several workshops, including one that all councillors were invited to in the last week or so, and I'll ask Marie to deal with that one. Thanks, Marie.
Sure. Members have the paper in front of them and the proposed Scheme of Delegation that highlights the amendments together with the Operating Protocol. This is following a number of workshops and indeed a further one following last month's FP&R Committee. I'm not going to go through it in any detail, as I believe that has been covered. Just to note, on the second page of the report, it refers to that all refusals of the Planning Commission committees will be placed with the call-in system or by the majority. And the reason it says the word majority is that certain applications, as per the scheme of delegation, would go straight to committee, things like ones with statutory consultees have objections or whether major applications. So that's just clarity on that. So we would just ask that the committee agree to revise scheme of delegation and operating protocol.
Thanks, Rowan.
Chairman, obviously from the last meeting ourselves as a party have met on this as a grouping, and there's still some concerns raised in relation to the call-in panel, and from our grouping we would sort of be requesting or proposing that we would have maybe further discussion and we would defer the decision until we have more clarity around the call-in procedure and call-in panel. I propose that, Chair.
Okay, a proposal for second debate. Everyone in agreement? Any other comments, Councillor Byrne?
Sure. This is another one, the same as what Councillor Ann raised there a few minutes ago. There was a DAA meeting on the same time as that meeting. So the diaries need to start to correspond. Somewhere along the line that has to start. the Rowland DA would meet Ms. Leighton.
Councillor Burgess, I think that would be duly noted, and Karina has said that she will pass that on, and sure anybody coordinated the diary will coordinate that. That should not happen. The reason why we had that workshop penciled in was for to allow councillors to have more detailed examination. I chaired that meeting, and there was very detailed examination of the concerns that people had. I felt that the officers more than answered those and dealt with them in great detail. We have a proposal and a seconder from on the issue of bringing Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, just on your point there, Chair. I was the biggest sceptic for this at the last SBNO committee and wanted the workshops. And I'm also the most stubborn person you'd guess. And I listened to the officers. I was chaired by Councillor Larkin at the workshop. And all the questions that were put forward were answered about the call-in process, which I had a lot of questions about. And I think that the workshop was excellent. And I just want to thank the officers and Marie for being so frank at the workshop. And I thought from the workshop that everybody that was at it went out here agreeing to the scheme of that delegation. Now, I understand from the SVNO committee the last time that it was the proposals were brought the Wednesday before, and there was a timing issue of people getting updated on all the detail of it. I also understand that, you know, agents have contacted councillors to give, you know, their view on it, and that's fair enough. And we brought all that into the workshop, and we got fair answers. And if between something changed between the workshop and calling another workshop, between this meeting and trying to go to another workshop, it's actually counterproductive. We're going to get the same questions for the same answers. So I propose the revised scheme of delegation that's in front of us here to accept that.
Do you have a second or
Chair, in relation to that, I'll pick up in relation to Councillor Byrne. He's right. If you remember last month, it was myself that proposed that we have the workshop. I felt it was very, very worthwhile. And after the workshop was over last week, I thought we were all in agreement that we would come back here to rubber stamp what we had went through, and it was just a rubber stamping exercise. I'm disappointed that it's not, because I did state, you know, people had their chance at that meeting last week, they attended. I said, look, we don't need to open it up to debate again, because they had an opportunity to come to that particular meeting and voice their concerns and get them addressed. You know, number of councillors hasn't, but Councillor Byrne is right. Something has changed from the meeting last week to tonight. And I would second Councillor Byrne in adopting this paper tonight.
Okay, well, we have a proposal from Councillor Rowan and seconded by Councillor Rice to defer the decision. And we've a proposal from Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor Walker, to adopt the proposal. We will have to take.
All right, councillors. As you know, in accordance with standing orders, so we go with one motion at a time.
Yeah.
So we take the original motion, vote on that, and then if that falls.
Okay. Well, we have the original proposal that came to this evening came from Councillor Rowan, seconded by Councillor Rice. And that is to defer the decision before us this evening. Can we take a vote on that? Show of hands. Those in favour of the proposal to defer? Those against?
Five.
Okay. Those abstaining? Okay, that proposal is defeated. The next proposal is proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor Walker, and that was to adopt the proposal. Okay, can we have a vote, show of hands on that? Those in favour? It's fine. Those against? Those abstaining?
Four.
declare proposals carried. Okay, move on to item 5. It's the report in section 75, policy screening report, quarterly report for period April to June 2018. I'll ask Colin Moffat to speak on that. Colin. Councillors, items 5, 6 and 7 are actually all for noting they're all under the equality policy section. These all refer to things which are required under a Council's Equality Scheme in terms of our statutes, Section 75 statutory duties. Item 5 is the report in Section 75. This is our quarterly screening report, which has been tabled for noting. This details the four policies which were screened during the period. Any comments or questions, colleagues? Are we happy to note? Okay, we'll move on.
Item six relates to this is the Council's Public Authority Progress Report to the Equality Commission. This not under the Council's Equality Scheme is a commitment that this be submitted with by 31st of August each year. This has already been forwarded in draft format to the Equality Commission, so it's laid before you tonight with respect for noting.
Okay. Any comments? Duly noted. Okay. Move on to item 7. Colin McGinn.
Yeah, again, this is related to the Council's Equality Scheme. This is the Equality Action Plan. It had come before you actually in April 18. There's a period of consultation which has been undertaken, and this is the proposed action plan which the Council would move forward upon in detailing positive actions to promote equality of opportunity and good relations.
Okay, any comments, members? Happy to note. Duly noted. Okay. Item 8 is the assessment of performance 2017-18 attached in your thing. We need a proposer and seconder for that document. And Johnny McBride's going to speak on this one. Johnny?
Page 67 of
Minute Pad. Yeah, page 67, item 8 on your Minute Pad. Okay, Johnny.
Okay, Chair, thank you very much. Members, you have quite a detailed report in your agenda pack for this meeting. The purpose is to provide members with a summary of the assessment of our performance for the 17-18 period. Members may be aware this is a statutory requirement to publish this every year and forms part of our duty of improvement as laid out in the Local Government Act of 2014. In terms of its scope, Chair, it looks at progress against the performance improvement objectives that the Council would have set the previous year. It also sets out our progress against those statutory KPIs which are set by central government, specifically in the areas of planning, waste management and economic development. But it also looks at what we would call self-imposed KPIs or indeed measure of performance, which we have reflected in the current corporate plan, which runs from 2015 to 2019. What I would say as a note is that this whole assessment is externally assessed and validated by the Northern Ireland Office. In terms of the assessment itself, Chair, it is a composite document which essentially pulls together all the performance of the Council's departments and services and essentially contributing to those three or four key areas. So it would have been constructed with the assistance of directors, assistant directors, heads of service, etc. What I would say then, in terms of the specific details of projects or indeed activities, they will be included in other plans and strategies which will have or will continue to be taken to other committees and indeed other structures in this Council. So, Chair, I don't propose to go through the detail of it. It's quite a meaty document. More than happy to take any questions or comments, but in terms of the decisions required, if we could have members agree to that assessment and also agree to its publication by the 30th of September as per the statutory deadline. Thank you.
Okay. Any comments on the floor? Councillor Burns?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And it is a lengthy document, and there's a few things that I just want to question. On page 10, we're talking, where the headline is encouraging and empower local communities to participate in council engagement and structures. And I understand, and from last year's report and this year, next year I would like to see the review of community centres is complete. We still get it in the neck from user groups that feel as if they're locked out from the community centres. And I get that from across the town, which is a public council-run community centre, that they can't use it for X, Y, and Z, whether it's public liability or whatever. And I think to truly get the wee green happy faces on that, we need people in through them doors next year. So I understand that the review is complete, but I'd like to see that advanced next year so that we can settle that issue. One of the things that I've seen right across, and it is a good news story, and it probably is attributed to me that I'm always going on about the council festivals versus the community festivals, but when you see it, you know, the figures here, I would like to see on the financial assistance where you've got the community festivals that are given X amount of money, and that is reported in this, where their direct spend and their figures of how many people they're taking into the district. Because when we're giving them money throughout the financial assistance, and there's 100,000 given out to community festivals, that too is a good news story, and that's where councils are directly involved. So it's one thing talking about the direct spend of Wake the Giant and whatever, I'm seeing 8,000 people come in for that and named them in for that, because it just feels like to the community that the council are constantly patting themselves on the back and not giving any recognition to community events, which we do supply money to through financial assistance and through the tourism fund. I understand that some of the sad faces and in between is with the neighbourhood services renewal, and this time next year we will see hopefully a big change in that. Just bear with me till it loads up here. Yes. Also, you know, the baseline data to be established with the general waste at the recycling centre. From I had brought it up last week, one of the officers from RTS and Neighbourhood Services has contacted me and said that there is a review into how we're looking at our recycling centres, and that's something going forward to next year, because it's all well and good having commercial waste being able to be dumped in Camla recycling centre, but you know, the whole key was the domestic dumping around the rural areas, and we've got AONBs right across the district. So I'd like to see at this time next year, although it is a work in progress, at this time next year we do sort of relax some of the rules around the recycling centre. On the increased employee satisfaction, a just simple request that the stress audit is made available to councillors, because going through the efficiencies working group who we're talking about, overtime, it really inform us on that argument. And finally, yeah, just actually, what I've just said there, where the council constantly gets criticised or seen as giving themselves a pat on the back and not the community groups, I'm just going to give the council a pat on the back on the waste and the reduction in the black waste. I actually didn't put my black bin out today because it's only a quarter full. And that's something that's, you know, people said, I suppose, you know, people might think that's not a big point, but it actually is. People said that if we moved to 3 weeks of the black bin waste, that the sky would fall in. You know, how on earth am I going to get my waste collected if they're only going to come 3 weeks? But see, with the blue and brown bin, it actually we will get to a point where we are reducing our waste and that. So I think that's a job well done by the council. And highlighted in this report is the education and awareness campaign that was rolled out. It is bloody excellent. And the wee book that was rolled out is very, very good. As us, you know, people that think that we knew what to put in the blue bin for years, it was an education piece for us as well. I know everybody has it handy when they're going to sort their waste. So just a well done on that, and the figures do reflect that. But yeah, I'm happy to propose the report.
Okay. Any more comments before Councillor Grogan?
Yeah, to see how we are vetting our performance on major festivals, I just can't see where we've got community festivals. I know that we've had a lot of dissatisfaction expressed for festivals that have been running, say, between 20 and 50 years on an annual basis supported by council, where there's been tremendous difficulty in getting finance for these annual festivals since the new system started in the new council. I mean, for instance, our GLAS, which has been in its 49th year, has been funded by council on 47 occasions, but not in the last two occasions. Strangford lost out in the first year or two of council, didn't lose out on any of the previous 20-odd occasions that it had applied for funding in the old council. Kinloch also lost out. So I know that we did some reform to our services, for instance, in community centres, where we allowed community centres, instead of having to apply every single year for their community centre grant, they would apply for the period of council of 5 years, and that's really been a transformative thing for community centres in the fact they can then concentrate on other sources of funding and then concentrate on their SLAs. And it would seem to me an SLA approach to traditional festivals that have been going between 20 and 50 years would be a far more effective way of doing it and get a lot less brickbats to councillors when, for inexplicable reasons, one or other of these festivals don't succeed in funding, as they used to do, like clockwork, every year in the old days. Thank you.
Councillor Henry, Councillor Highland.
The 2020 group from Newry were really shocked, nearly horrified to hear one councillor say that a project in Newry had taken 17 years from start to finish. And they were very concerned that a similar project in Newry, such as the play park at the Alta Basin, would take anything like that length of time. Just old, is it possible for us to get ideas on how long projects such as that, which have been passed by and approved by this council, how long they will take before they're finished? Because they had the, and you saw that yourself last night, they were under the belief that something like that should take between 3 and 5 years at the most, which mightn't be the case.
You want to come back on that?
I think it'd be a very difficult task to do. You think we have to understand the nature of the project to be able to put an estimated timeline on it. Certainly it's not something that I think that we could do at this point, given where that project's at. You can see through the capital programme each year, projects starting those that fall off. We can certainly look backwards, but to predict the length of time for a future project, we'd have to understand the nature of that project, how many external parties are involved in it, lots of different factors. I can't comment. I don't know the one that you refer to, whether that's accurate or not. I really couldn't comment. I think we have to be careful to talk about an idea, you know, a proposal, or when we go out to contract, when funding is agreed. It's when your starting point is what where your time starts ticking. So I have to understand the nature of how that 17 years was arrived at and whether it's accurate or not. But
well, Councillor Henley, I think we all agree that in relation to the Albert Basin Park, every member of the parties in this chamber have expressed a willingness to create a world-class park in the Albert Basin, so I hope that politics not getting in the way of it. It's just a case of trying to work our way through the normal intricacies of trying to get funding and get through the planning process and other studies that need to be carried out. I have a proposal from Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor O'Lan. Any more comments? I'll be moving on. Thanks, Tony. The next one is the item number 9, the draft consultation response to NILGA. Now, this is in relation to devolution within Northern Ireland. And I'll ask Tony to come in on that one again.
Chair, thanks very much. The purpose of this is to provide members with a draft response to that NILGA report. And again, you touched on it, this report examines the potential for transfer of new powers and responsibilities to local government. I don't propose to go into the detail. I'm sure members have read it. What it says goes to a number of cross-cutting issues, particularly around our community planning experiences. There may be an argument that elected representatives through council are given an enhanced scrutiny role, particularly around other public service provision, and think particularly of education, housing, health within local areas, and that's something that you may want to reflect in the consultation document. I think there's an important point to be made about when we're talking about potential new powers and responsibilities transferring, that we learn the lessons of the last one, and that a proper, independent and robust due diligence exercise be undertaken so members can be assured that the burden of resourcing those isn't passed on to local ratepayers. And then I think, to be honest with you, the whole absence of an assembly and executive, I don't know to what extent we can leverage any influence without that being established.
Any comments?
Mickey's in first.
Sorry, Mickey. Is your side, Mickey?
They're all
out of sync again, are they? John's working. Can you switch yours all off? Councillor's please, we'll try and see them very soon. Right. Hey, can you knock yours off for a second, please? Just
is yours working?
Yeah, mine's working.
Yeah. Oh, sure, you go ahead first.
Okay.
So, all I was going to say, Chair, is I'm somebody who actually sits on the NILGA grouping, and obviously this year come before council in the summer months, and I'm just conscious that, you know, with holidays and everything else, maybe groupings haven't really had the opportunity to sit down and discuss it, and thank Johnny for his paper he's put in front of us. But just to get it right, I was just going to suggest that if it was agreeable that we actually would go back to NILGA and ask for the deadline to be extended, so the parties then could be into possibly into Johnny's report then as well as a response back. So it's just a proposal I would make.
Okay, proposal from Councillor Rahn. Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. You know what, I don't really have an issue with that. I think just on the report in front of us, there's a few things I just want to flag up. I think question two hits the nail on the head. We're talking about the retention of local generation powers by the Northern Ireland Assembly. And as a council, we haven't been able to voice our frustration or concern with that, because after the decision was made, the Assembly had collapsed pretty much straight away after that. I think there's a debate in that itself. And I know there was a commitment from the last minister to explore whether it was a case for extending the regeneration activities to settlements of less than 500 people. And that's something that I think, I suppose, is probably the only positive outcome that I've seen from that statement. And I think that's something that's important that it's explored as part of any future campaign for devolving the regeneration powers to local government. Because for myself, a policy change in that, population thresholds, would have huge effect and opportunity for small towns across Midland. So it's something that I'd want to hammer home on. I think there's a debate in that itself, but I've absolutely no I've no problem with if we can ask for an extension to put something a wee bit more robust together.
With respect to party groupings, just to feedback their comments to me, and I think then I can add value to this initial response, and I'll bring that back to the council's decision making structures for consideration.
No. Okay, is everyone in agreement then that we ask Ray off first for an extension, and all the parties feed into Johnny and Andrew? Okay. Ahead of the next council meeting. Okay. Thank you. Move on to item 10, ICO registration fees. Need a decision on this, and Darina.
Yeah, councillors, I think you're all well aware of the issue, so I'm going to take it that you've read the paper, and I'm looking for a proposer or seconder to accept the recommendation in section 3 to allow us to amend the scheme of alliances.
I propose.
Propose Councillor Water, we have a seconder. Councillor Warren. Okay, move on to item 11. Action sheet from SPWG, meeting with CCTV. Bring Johnny back in on that one. Is Johnny here? Johnny.
Sure, all that is just looking for members to agree what the recommendation of that special meeting was. I don't propose to go over the detail again, seeing we did it only the other day.
Proposed, Chair.
Yeah. Second. Proposed Councillor Walker, second by Councillor Turner. Okay. And the next item is item number 12, which is the Local Development Plan Steering Group. Minutes of meeting, it's just for noting we have no member of the team here to discuss, but if people want to raise an issue, we can get it emailed across to them. I'm happy enough to note. Julie noted, okay. The next item is for noting again, maybe Johnny will speak to this. Item number 13, the resident survey.
For noting, Chair.
Noting. Okay. Any comments?
Just a well done in getting the value for money done by using other councils. We had this committee before and we knocked it back because we didn't want cold calling on that, and it's only, I think, people calling to the doors to do the question now face to face. One thing I know you've done a pilot with it, is the 59 questions a bit long, or how did you find out in you've done a pilot run of this, how do you find out the 59 questions is? Because if somebody, I actually was I was going to use the word, it was a victim of somebody knocking me down for a survey, and what they said would take 10 minutes took a bloody hour. You know, so I think it dilutes the quality of responses towards the end of a survey when people say, you know, hurry up, they'll just give you any response. So just clarity around, you know, the 59 questions, what's your opinion on it? But well done on saving the money by using other councils.
Can we answer that, Chair?
Yes.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, we did pilot this. Members can be assured that no one will be asked 59 questions. There's routing techniques where you take them through it, so I'll be pretty confident nobody will have to suffer 59 questions.
Okay, members, happy to note. Did you know that Johnny was just at the hour one wee second, and we'll stop having you to play musical chairs. Item 14 is participatory budgeting pilot project. And again, this for noting. Any questions or comments from members? Are we happy to note? Duty note, thank you very much. It's only your duty excuse. Okay. Item 15 is the action sheet from the SPWG meeting on the 11th of September. And and we're going to, first of all, a proposer and seconder for accuracy. Proposed by Councillor Tanner. Seconded, Councillor Rowan. Okay. Okay. Item 16. We have to go in closed session at this stage. So, this item is deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council, holding that information and the public may by resolution be excluded during this item of business. Do we have a proposal and second? Proposed Councillor Rowan, seconded by Councillor Chandler. We're going to close session. Sorry, it's hard to go to the tape. Sorry, before we go to the tape.
So, whilst in closed session, item 16, it was proposed by Councillor Byrne and seconded by Councillor Hyland to approve the contents of the Efficiency Working Group Action Sheet of the meeting held on the 3rd of September 2018. Item 17 is proposed by Councillor Hyland, seconded by Councillor Enright, and was agreed to approve the contents of the Albert Basin Task and Finish Group Action Sheet of the meeting held on the 2nd of August 2018. Item 18, it was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Traynor, to note the contents of the Officer's Report and approve the recommendation contained at paragraph 3.1 relating to the revised capital budget for the Down Leisure Centre. Item 19, right-of-way proposal at Bally Edmund. It was agreed to note the officer's report regarding the right-of-way at Bally Edmund. Item 20, update on Newry DEA assets. It was agreed in the proposal of Councillor Traynor, seconded by Councillor Walker, agreed by 8-3 to proceed to declare Macreish Park Newry as a surplus asset and proceed to the D1 disposal process, as some of Council's statutory partners could potentially make use of the land for the benefit of the community. And at item 21, it was agreed to note the contents of the officer's report relating to the settlement of a claim for damages against the Council using the Chief Executive's power to settle a claim.
Okay. That's us. Okay, everybody, stay home. Thank you.